Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Before I even give you the title, now that we've prayed, I just want to mention to Marilyn and Bob Pitts, or raise your hand, guys, that just got back last week from Mongolia. I mean, who the heck goes to Mongolia? I'm just really grateful that they went. But I was with Barron yesterday, and he told me you guys didn't even stay in a hotel. You camped. 3 days in a camp, in a tent, right? On the floor in Mongolia. Oh, my goodness. Sakes alive. You are radical Christians that we all want to get to. Including me. Profound words of Jesus, a subtle trap of judgment. As we go to these title, the profound words of Jesus and the subtle trap of judgment, I want to just share some things about life for you so you can understand maybe where you're at and where I'm at. There's different levels in the progress as a Christian or as any person. The first thing, the first and the lowest level, is just trying to figure out really if there's even a God at all. We probably all went through that question ourselves, a question whether there was really even a God. I mean, some of you that are in this room today are still having trouble with just that basic thinking, because the whole world is trying to convince you that there isn't a God. And you're sometimes going to be convinced by them and go the wrong way, or you're going to finally go to the next level and realize that there is a God, and He's a great God. Then that at that level, you start to realize that there are a lot of people who claim to have their God as the God. So you ask the question at the second level is, like, who's really God? And if you're like me, and as a young man, I really wanted to find out about who was really God, I really researched it all, and realized there's some really weird thinking out there. But there's one that was really solid, and I came to a place at third level of realizing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God, Almighty, Lord, and Savior of everything. When I got to that level, another question people ask themselves in the progress of their life is they ask themselves, okay, now that I believe in Jesus, what do I do? And you go to a church for many years that you don't do anything. You just go to church and they tell you about God, you know, and they tell you about what Jesus did, and they sing some songs, and they give you little Reader's Digest suggestions on how to live life. And, you know, you're really kind of like figuring out, but somewhere along the line, inside of you, there's an unsettling in your spirit in that level, and you really start to reach out. Now that I know about Jesus, how do I find out about Him? And how do I really find out about, you know, what's this all about for me? Why am I here? What's this about? What does God want and require of me? You know, and so I couldn't find that out at that particular level and where I was going to church. And many years back, I decided to find a place that would teach me truth. And that fourth or fifth level, you start to question yourself, like, what's truth? That guy says that's truth, and that guy says that's truth. That group says that's truth, and this group says that's truth. And there's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of people in those groups, and surely they couldn't all be wrong, so it must be truth. But I found out that that's not how you decide what's truth. You go to the next level realizing that truth comes in something that's very interesting. It's the inspired word of God, the Bible. And for thousands of years, it has proved itself as the direction for your life. That God loves you so much, cares about you so much, and your future, He wants to give you insights on how to prosper in every area of your life. So you've got to find out the truthful, right way of doing things. And so you don't go back to the way world does things. You don't go back to what the politicians tell us. Oh my goodness, aren't we a mess if we listen to them? They can't even do things right themselves. What we do is we go back, not to what the majority of people in America say. We go back not to what the Supreme Court says. We go back to the book of truth, which is the Bible. and you finally settle it in your heart that the Bible is truth at that particular level. And then you're going to have to come to a place in your walk where you realize, if it's truth, then I got to find out how to live life based on what God says and not what I feel or what other people have told me, you know. And so that's where we're kind of looking at the Word of God, which makes me very proud of the Rock Church World Outreach Center. It doesn't, you know, play games with you. It's going to tell you all the time you're coming in here what the truth of the Word of God says, why, so that you can get it, apply it in your life, be blessed, and start to win some battles instead of constantly losing battles in life. If God really cares about you. And I'm really proud of this church that we do that in this place every time we get together. A lot of times in trying to adventure into truth, the Word of God, we find ourselves in a place where we see God's warnings. Some people that aren't very smart say, and I read the Bible as a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, and it's like God's this big killjoy in the sky, and he really, you know, gives me a bunch of rules. And that's just not the way it is. When God gives us a warning, he is simply pointing out a pitfall that keep us from falling in a hole in our adventure and pilgrimage on this earth. Because he loves us so much that he not only tells us, listen to this, watch this, what to do, he tells us how to do it, then he empowers us to do it with his Holy Spirit. And in fact, and then he tells us about look out for certain areas of your life so that you don't fall in the hole. It's like a father says to his children, he says, I don't want you to play in the street anymore. Car, I don't want you to play there. Get out of the street. Go play in the front yard or in the backyard, but get out of the street. And the little kid is just frustrated as can possibly be. And he's just angry with his dad for getting him out of the street because it was a perfect place to play ball. And then the dad sits down and says, I wanted you out of the street because the cars come by so fast that if they hit you, they'll squish you, they'll kill you, and you'll not be around us, and I won't be able to love you, you won't grow, and it's for your own protection that I told you about this and I warned you about this. And now the little child is in a different place because now he understands what the father was saying, and that the father was saying it because he loved him so much, he pointed out the pitfalls. That's what you find in Scripture, is you find the Father loving us so much that he points out by warning us of the pitfalls that we could fall into and never get out of and fail in life if we don't continue to follow the patterns that he sets for us by truth. Are you following me? You got to follow me because I'm very simple and it's very clear, and somebody ought to say amen. Because it's so easy for us to see. So what we're talking about tonight is a subject. In fact, Jesus is teaching his disciples in the first part of Matthew an awful lot, actually all the way through Matthew. And he holds nothing back to them. Just like we teach you, we consider you going on the path of maturity, we don't hold anything back. This is not a game. I remember as a young man being part of a denomination, and they said, you can't understand the Bible. You got to let us translate it for you so that you can understand it. In fact, you shouldn't even have a Bible. And that's the way it was when I was a young man. And I went to that particular church, they spoke Latin, they didn't even care about having anything whatsoever that was English, so I grew up not knowing anything. And I'm in this place tonight telling you that this church treats you like you're going on the road to maturity, learning how to live your life according to the Word of God, guess what, so that you can be what God wants you to be, and that's blessed. And God comes along and he talks about something called judgments. And when you and I operate in a principle that is contrary to his way, it literally is a hole that we could fall into and keep us from being all that God would have us to be. Can I get a witness on that? And so he loves us enough to point out things, and he's telling his disciples, just like he's telling us today, about this word judgment and judging other people. By the way, if I could just share it with you, judging is a very normal and natural feeling that we all have. And the only way to get rid of it is you have to work at it, or you will keep doing the judging because it's very normal and natural. It comes with the fall of man. In fact, the very first family of Adam and Eve had two sons, if you remember, Cain and Abel. And Cain ends up, how'd you like to have a family like this? Some of you think your families are bad. Here's the first family on the planet, Adam and Eve's children, and Cain kills his brother, Abel. There's murder in the first family. Oh my goodness sakes alive. And all of us in here need to learn a simple principle that there's judgment. He judged his brother a certain way, and he judged his God a certain way. And that principle brought him to failure right off the bat. Fourth chapter, book of Genesis. Right off the bat, we see judgment. There's only one judge. His name is God Almighty. And he passes the judgment from himself as Father to his Son, Jesus Christ. We'll show you that in the scripture tonight. Now, in order for us to understand this, I'm going to take you to four places. Instead of just saying to you, now watch, listen to me. Instead of just saying to you, you shouldn't judge, which you'll hear in a moment from the scripture, isn't it better that a father says, get out of the street because of this, this, and this, and then the child understands it. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He makes a statement very blunt and up in front. But you'll find that the disciples later on in their writings define it greater so we can understand the whys. And the four areas that we're going to be talking about is the trap of judgment. It really wants to trap you. It wants to stop you as a Christian. It wants to keep the blessings from you. It wants to keep you void of the presence of God so you never get what you're doing, never get the blessings, never get the answered prayers, never get the promotions, never get the favor of God because you're operating in a principle in your life that's contrary to what, and it becomes this amazing, horrible trap. And most people don't know they're in a trap. And when you don't know you're in a trap, can I just say this to you? You will never try to get out of it if you don't know you're in it. And a lot of people don't even know they're in this trap of judgment. And they never try to get out of it. The second thing we're going to see is not only you're going to be trapped, you're going to see what losses there are in your life. Because along with a trap comes devastating losses. That's the purpose of it. Their satanic principles do not want you to gain, do not want you to prosper, do not want you to be successful. Third thing we're going to see is the why. Because if you tell me why to get out of the street, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. I'll get out of the street. Some of you need to know the why. And number four, the plan of God that takes care for Christians' judgment so we don't have to worry about it. I find that if you know these things, then when this natural phenomena comes your way that wants you, you want to open your mouth to judge somebody, you'll know better as to why you shouldn't do it, and it'll help you not to do it. Is that okay? I want to just share this with you. Passing, if I could do this, let me define for you, if I may, judgment. Passing an opinion or a conclusion to a matter of, or something, or to someone. If you are going to pass along an opinion or, and I love this word conclusion, conclusion. And God tells us that at nowhere and in no place are we to pass a conclusion of our opinion upon somebody or someone's act or them as a person, because it stops us, it goes back to us. I remember, you know, someone said one time, well, I have a jury duty. When I go to jury duty, I just tell them, the Bible says I can't judge, but he's not talking about civil courts. And I see my friend Steve back here is a judge in San Bernardino, sits on the bench in San Bernardino. And Steve, you judge every single day, and man, are you in trouble. No, I'm only a kid. I'm only kidding you, man. I'm only kidding you. That's your job, and that's what you're supposed to do. But for us judging people outside of the law of our nation, outside of our civil duty, just because it's a thing to do, man, is it wrong. Definitely, absolutely wrong. I'm going to take you, if I may, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus, again, is speaking to his disciples, and he's... And I love these words because they're so profound. It seems so simple, but yet they're so difficult for all of us because we all have a tendency to open our mouth and talk about people. Oh, I got one amen. The rest of you are liars because you know that's true. So let's try it again. We all have a tendency, including Pastor Jim, to open our mouths and talk about people. About half of you, the rest of you, will cast the devil out of you after church service for lying. But it's so true. Here it is in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse number 1. He says these words, judge not. And then he tells you about the trap, because here's the trap. He not only tells us to judge not, in other words, don't judge these things, don't judge people, because there's a reason for it. That's not your place, but there's a reason for it. And the first thing we're going to see is the trap. Is that okay? And the trap here is judge not that you be not judged. And he goes on to make this statement that if you judge, then you're going to be judged. Listen to what it says in verse number 2. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with a measure you use it, it will measure back to you. In other words, whatever portion of judgment you're dishing out, you're going to get the same thing back. It may not happen right away, but it will happen. And that's the real trap of this. You can get away with a lot of stuff oftentimes, and you think you got away with it for God. Guess what? It's just not reckoning day. That's all. And you have to understand, there isn't anything you're getting away with. God hadn't looked the other way. And you need to be a person that realizes, be smart enough to realize, if you got away with it, you think this week, next week's coming. And he makes this statement, and he's not going to break his word for you or me. He's telling his disciples this. Verse number 3 comes along and makes this statement. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? And I love the first word, verse number 5. You know, I love about Jesus, everybody thinks he's kind of mealy-mouthed, sissy, kind of like kind all the time, never says anything. Can I tell you something? If there's anybody that's in your face, it's Jesus. Hypocrite. And when you are a hypocrite, oh my goodness sakes, don't expect to get blessed by God. And then he's telling these guys, can you imagine these guys that are following him? They're probably complaining about each other. They're probably frustrated with, you know, relatives, some of her relatives. They're following Jesus. And all of a sudden Jesus goes, says, judge not. And they're going, what are you talking about? And then he uses the word hypocrite. I understand using the word hypocrite towards the Pharisees and the scribes. But here are these people that, you know, are with Jesus. They're learning like you and I. And we ourselves, even though we have an association with Jesus, can be a real hypocrite by the words that we speak about other people. Is anybody listening? Yes. First, remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Very important for us not to judge, because the trap is this. Because the way you judge is the way you will be judged. Didn't say the way you judge you might be judged. It's the way you will be judged. And if you judge greatly towards somebody, you're going to get judgment back greatly. And I don't know about you, but I don't want judgment. I want blessings. Anybody want blessings? Give out a share here. Then this is something that all of us need to realize, that in our walk with God, it's really a commandment from Jesus, right from his heart, for us to open our mouths only in kind words, blessing each other, praying for each other, taking care of each other. Can I tell you something about America right now? The reason it's got such division and strife going on is because a bunch of people are judging other people, including some Christian people. And we need to be a people that just shut our mouths. If you don't know how to not judge, may I give you some words of wisdom? Shut up. Two words. You saw someone, I said that one time to a lady in a church service like this when I was young. And I said, shut up. And she came up to me after church service and says, hey, in my family, we don't say shut up. And I said, oh, good. Well, when I come to your house for dinner, I won't say shut up. But in this house, I'm saying shut up. But God says it oftentimes in Scripture, man. Just shut up. If you don't know how to not judge, don't go in. When someone starts, you ever felt that when someone starts to judge? And you say, are you judging? And they say, no, I'm just sharing. We have answers for everything, don't we? Are you judging? No, I'm just considering. I'm just saying something, you know? It's a judgment. It's something that is, if it's not good, don't say it. Amen. Remember that old saying? Yep. Yeah, that came from my dad. Why do you think my dad said that to me? He had to teach me that because everything that was coming out of my mouth was like Cain. Always complaining about everything and everybody else. Stop complaining. Stop seeing people as bad. Start speaking life over them. Ooh, it's so important. The second thing I want to share with you tonight so that you can understand this because it's important is, number one, this is a trap. But number two is the loss. I love this. If there's a trap, you're trapped. And in a trap, you will have a loss. Now, wait a minute. I want to make a statement to you about the loss. This is a crazy statement. The Spirit of God spoke it to me today, just this afternoon. He said this, and I have it up on the overhead for you. It says, if I'm not forgiving someone, then I'm in judgment of that someone or person. Let me say it again. If I'm not forgiving someone, don't you wish you went to Calvary Chapel tonight? And if I'm not forgiving someone, then it says, then I'm in judgment about that someone or person. And with that in mind, I take you to Mark, the 11th chapter. And here's this fabulous instructions on how to get answers to prayer in Mark 11th chapter. Some of you know it, some of you don't. Some of you know it by heart. Many of you don't know it at all, and you should know it. We just sometimes know it so well that we forget to teach it to you because it's been part of our life for so many years. He says these words in verse 23. It's not up on the overhead. It says, he's saying to you, whatsoever you say on the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and believe those things which you say will be done. You will have whatever he says. And then verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Has anybody ever asked anything when they pray? Have you ever asked anything when you pray and you see it, what you're asking for, but you're hoping that God's going to give it to you? You're all afraid to raise your hand on that one. You're little chickens right now. Christian chickens. You're afraid, if I raise my hand, then I know that's a, thank you, Terry. You're the only honest person in the building. Okay, a couple of others. You're praying, and what you're really saying is, God, I hope you to give this to me. I hope, I need this. I want answer to this prayer. And you leave it where you're on the outside instead of on the inside. The verse comes along and makes it very clear. Now, this is just a little footnote. And he says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So when I pray, I'm not to see myself on the outside hoping that he answers my prayer. I'm to believe that I receive it. And at that time, it's a done deal. I got it. It won't be long before it manifests itself. But the verse goes on, and this is the next part of that verse. that gives you a warning once again. Remember, we talked about forgiveness. If you're not forgiveness, you're in judging, and you're judging that person. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, can I ask you, is judgment anything against anybody? Does he just say if you have anything against a bad person? Now, if you have anything against your boss, because he's been a real creep this week, anything against your spouse, you know, forget that person. Anything about your relatives? Anybody ever had feelings about relatives besides me? I mean, I had such feelings about relatives, I had to get away from them. Start my own family traditions, you know what I mean? Man, that was a zoo. Get together and have a party with them. They'd all be drunk playing poker, and before I know it, there was a fist fight in the backyard. You say, really, Pastor? Yep. Guess what? I solved that problem. I just got away from them. But if you have anything against anybody, that means anybody. That means your kids. That means your husband. Hey, can I tell you? That means your exes. I can't mean the exes. Yeah, it means the exes. I know. I got a pile of them. I probably married everybody in this building. I'm kidding. Half the people online just went off. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Why? Because you're judging. And that your Father in heaven will also forgive you of your trespass. Now watch the loss. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespass. Oh my goodness. I mean, this is a very serious thing, this thing called judgment. Because if you're in judgment and you're in non-forgiving position and because of non, yes, somebody hurt you. Yes, they did wrong. Yes, they violated you. Yes, they were absolutely, yes, they got away with it, sort of. Guess what? But there's no reason that you should judge them. Let God do it. And there's a day coming when he will. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine. And when you pick up a spirit of vengeance, you've just taken the place of God, and you're in trouble. So the loss here is neither will your Father in heaven forgive you, because why? You were in judgment that left you in a place of non-forgiveness. So we see something about judgment. We see the trap. We see the loss. How about this? Just for our own insight. This is really cool. The why we don't judge. The why. Because if you know the why, then you'll get out of the street faster. Is anybody listening? And it's all through the scripture, if you'll go with me, into 1 Corinthians. And let's take a look at the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let me move there. Verse number 5, it says this, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Boy, isn't that going to, he's going to tell on who's done the right and wrong. Watch this. And reveal the counsel of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. But you know, not only each one's praise, but vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so all we have to do is shut it. You may feel it in your heart. Don't express it out of your mouth. And when someone else is expressing judgment about someone else, your answer ought to be, I don't want to go there with you. Or I think they're wonderful, even though you may not. Or God's, how about this one? Not finished with them yet. Because remember, if you remember this word, that judgment is passing conclusions about something or someone. Conclusions. What you're saying by passing judgment is that person is finished and God's not finished with them yet. In other words, therefore judge nothing before the time. I mean, I use the illustration over the years of a picture, a portrait. If you saw what a painter was painting in the beginning as he sketched out where he was going with his picture, you would say it's pretty lousy or try to figure out what it is. When he starts to put the different colors on and layers on and textures on and feelings on, you know, then it becomes a real picture of great value. But here we see that oftentimes we judge a human like the beginning with an artist in a picture. God's not finished with him. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. What's the time? The time when Jesus comes and gets us. Then it's too late for anything else, and the one who's supposed to judge, he will judge. Amen. Is anybody listening?
Yes.
So we find out that there is a trap to stop you from your future. We find out that there's a loss that'll keep you from God's forgiveness and keep you from answered prayers. Remember the couple verses right before that, he said, just believe you receive it and you'll have it. Guess what? If you're not going to get it if you're still in judgment and not in forgiving. And now we see the reason why. The reason why is because God's not finished with anybody yet. You say, well, I hate that person. I hate what they did. You may hate the act. Don't go there with the person. May I say this to you? To be all fair, 1 Corinthians 2 chapter verse 14, it says that we have the right to judge what's spiritual, not the right to judge a person. Because God's not finished with him yet, but spiritually, he's got it all under control. Is anybody listening? So we see the loss. Now we see the reason why. Last one, get you out of the street, is we see the plan. And the plan is very important. There is a plan that God the Father has that is for everybody. And that plan is for those that are in Christ Jesus will be judged by Jesus. Let me say it again. In other words, I could screw up. I know you don't believe that. You just think I'm like wonderful. All of you that believe that, raise your hand. Three of you. But I could screw up. But at the end of my life, am I in Jesus? And when the judgment comes, God doesn't see my screw up, he sees my Savior. God doesn't see my failure, he sees his blood. And my judgment is based on Jesus, if you're born of the Spirit of God, not based on what I've done and haven't done. And I say thank God to that too. That's called grace. So the plan for mankind, because it's all part of our nature to continuously judge things and walk in unforgiveness and be in this trap that would keep us, it's not based on my perfect work, even though I strive to be like Jesus, and so should you in every area of your life. But my job is not to strive to be in Jesus and sit back and do nothing. My job is to realize that I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, clean up my act to be a blessing to God and to his plan. And therefore, when judgment comes, I'm found in him. And you'll have to go through Jesus to get to me. And that's the great plan. Let me just share a couple of verses with you, if I may. And I'll just pop them up on the overhead. In 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, in order to understand that, you'd have to go to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. In your life, you're going to produce either gold, silver, or precious stones. Or you're going to produce wood, hay, and stubble. That's what he describes it like. And at the end of life, in the judgment, the flame of God is going to hit the work that you do. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, it doesn't burn up. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it burns up. Are you following me? And so that's what he's talking about there, whether it be good or bad. The flame of judgment is going to come upon it. You yourself are not going to be judged. Just notice this work that's in you. If you will, go with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 27. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 27 says it like this. For the Son of Man will come in glory in his Father with his angels. Oh, glory. How about tonight? And then he will reward each according to his work. That's where the rewards come in. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. But I like Romans. Here's Paul writing in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he writes this, Romans, the 2nd chapter, verse 16. Romans, 2nd chapter, verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men. How? By Jesus Christ. Man, you better be in Jesus. You do not want to be judged by God based on who you are. Like, I'm cool, I have a lot of money, I had a great education, I'm really nice, I really got along with society, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a pedestrian, I don't want to vote for anybody. And I think that's where I'm at. And so you better be in Jesus Christ, according to, and I love the way Paul took this and made the word personal. He says, my gospel. It was so personal to him that it became his. If I stood tonight and said to you, I want to preach to you my gospel. Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight my gospel. All of you would have gotten up and walked out and hit me with a chair on the way out. Yet Paul can make this statement. According to my gospel. What does he mean? According to the word of God that became his. You need to make the word of God yours. And keep in mind that God, because he loves you so much, is trying to get you out of the street. And he shares with you about the trap. He shares with you tonight about the loss. He shares to you tonight about the reasons why. Because it's before God comes. It's before it's time. God's not finished, and he reasons, gives you the plan. Here's what to do. When the emotion comes up to open your mouth and judge, shut up. Now watch this. Here's a verse. I was one of those young theologians as a young 20-year-old, and I've been a theologian for 40 years, and so as a young 20-year-old, it made me crazy because I came out of, you know, denominationalism, and I was so frustrated, so angry with the church, so frustrated with people and all the junk that goes on, and I criticized on a constant basis, you know. They're too dead, they're too crazy, they're too, you know, nuts, they're too this, they're too that. And this verse popped up one day when I was teaching the book of Romans. In the beginning of this church, it changed my life. I want to share it with you. Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 4. Who are you to judge? And I like the old King James, it says, another man's servant. Another servant. Who are we? Are we arrogant enough to pass judgment and to condemn and to come to a conclusion about somebody when God's not finished with him yet? And he says this, to his own master he will stand or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, I don't care what condition he's in today, God's not finished with him. Come on, somebody ought to give the Lord a great big praise. So the warning is not a killjoy thing, and the warning is not something to stop you from enjoying life. The warning is actually something that enhances your life if you operate in it. Keeps it flowing in the blessings of God, keeps his presence in your life and in your family. And that's what this is all about, is looking at the word of the Lord and seeing some tough verses like that verse. Realizing it's a warning, but it's a good one. That helps us. If God spoke to you tonight, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. You know that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.